ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನತೀರಾವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತೀರ್ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತೀ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ.
ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 10 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 39. ದಿಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ಅಕ್ರೂರಸ್ ವಿಷನ್, ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 7-15.
ದಿಷ್ಟ್ಯಾದ್ಯ ದರ್ಶನಂ ಸ್ವಾಣ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ವ ಸೌಮ್ಯ ಕಾಂಕ್ಷಿತಂ ಸಂಜಾತಂ ವನ್ಯತಾಂ ತಾತ ತವಾಗಮನ ಕಾರಣಂ. ದಿಷ್ಟ್ಯಾದ್ಯ ದರ್ಶನಂ ಸ್ವಾಣ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ವ ಸೌಮ್ಯ ಕಾಂಕ್ಷಿತಂ ಸಂಜಾತಂ ವನ್ಯತಾಂ ತಾತ ತವಾಗಮನ ಕಾರಣಂ. ದಿಷ್ಟ್ಯಾದ್ಯ ದರ್ಶನಂ ಸ್ವಾಣ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ವ ಸೌಮ್ಯ ಕಾಂಕ್ಷಿತಂ ಸಂಜಾತಂ ವನ್ಯತಾಂ ತಾತ ತವಾಗಮನ ಕಾರಣಂ. ದಿಷ್ಟ್ಯಾದ್ಯ ದರ್ಶನಂ ಸ್ವಾಣ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ವ ಸೌಮ್ಯ ಕಾಂಕ್ಷಿತಂ ಜಾತಂ ವನ್ಯತಾಂ ತಾತ ದಿಷ್ಟ್ಯಾದ್ಯ ದರ್ಶನಂ ಸ್ವಾಣ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ವಾ ಸೌಮ್ಯ ಕಾಂಕ್ಷಿತಂ Katam Varnyatam Tata Tava Gamana Karanam Dishtyadya Darshanam Svana Yamva
Atajis. Because there is no, read the translation. By good fortune, we have today fulfilled our desire to see you, our dear relative. O gentle uncle, please tell us why you have come. Because there is no purport, I'll read till the next purport comes. Text 8. Sri Shuka Uvacha Prishto Bhagavata Sarvam Varnayam Asa Madhava Vairanu Bandham Yadushu Vasudeva Vadodhyamam. Shukadeva Goswami said, in response to the Supreme Lord's request, Akrura, the descendant of Madhu, described the whole situation, including King Kamsa's enmity toward the Yadus and his attempt to murder Vasudeva. Yat sandesho yadartam va dutas sampreshitasvayam yaduktam naradenasya svajanmana anakadundube. Akrura relayed the message he had been sent to deliver. He also described Kamsa's real intentions and how Narada had informed Kamsa that Krishna had been born as the son of Vasudeva. Shrutva krura vacha krishno balascha paravīraha prahasya nandam pitaram rāgyā diṣṭam vijagnyatuhu. Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, the vanquisher of heroic opponents, laughed when they heard Akrura's words. The lords then informed their father Nanda Maharaj of King Kamsa's orders. Gopan samadishat sopi grihyatam sarva gorasaha upayanani grihnidvam yujyantam shakatani cha yasyam ashva madupurim dasyamo nripate rasan drakshyamasu mahat parva yanti janapada kila evam agoshayat kshatra Nanda Gopaswa Gokule. Nanda Maharaj then issued orders to the cowherd men by having the village constable make the following announcement throughout Nanda's domain of Raja. Go and collect all the valuable milk products. Bring valuable gifts and yoke your wagons. Tomorrow we shall go to Mathura, present our milk products to the king and see a very great festival. The residents of all the outlying districts are also going. Nanda wanted to bring ghee and other milk products as taxes for the king. Gopyastastad upashritya babuvur vyatita brisham Ramakrishna purim netum akruram vrajamagatam. When the young gopis heard that Akrura had come to Vraja to take Krishna and Balaram to the city, they became extremely distressed. Kaschit tatkrita hrittapa shvasam lana mukashriyah sramsat dukula valaya kesha grantyascha kaschana. some gopis felt so pained at heart that their faces turned pale from their heavy breathing. Others were so anguished that their dresses, bracelets and braids became loose. Anyascha tad anudyana nivritta shesha vrittayah nabhyajanan imam lokam atma lokam gatayiva. Other gopis entirely stopped their sensory activities and became fixed in meditation on Krishna. They lost all awareness of the external world, just like those who attain the platform of self-realization. The gopis were in fact already on the platform of self-realization. The Chaitanya Charitamrit Madhya Leela states, Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nityadas. The self or individual soul is an eternal servant of Krishna. Thus, because they were rendering the most intense loving service to the Lord, the gopis were situated at the highest stage of self-realization.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Mishnupadaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
So we are reading from this chapter, 39th chapter, Akrura's Vision. So at this stage, the 10th canto, Akrura has been sent by Kamsa in order to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, and Kamsa's plans were actually to kill Krishna and Balaram in Mathura. So Akrura has actually come to execute this plan of Kamsa. In the previous chapter, we saw that how Akrura was greatly eager to meet Krishna and Balaram, and whatever he was actually thinking in his mind, exactly the same thing was fulfilled by Krishna and Balaram. The Krishna and Balaram reciprocated in the same way as Akrura had expected when he was actually coming to Vrindavan. So here, in today's verses, we are seeing that when Akrura arrived, Krishna asked that for what purpose he has actually arrived in Vrindavan. And Akrura actually revealed the purpose. Akrura revealed the plans of Kamsa to kill them. But when Krishna heard the plans of Kamsa to kill them, Krishna actually laughed at that. And Krishna, it's explained that then Krishna and Balaram laughed, and then they informed Nanda Maharaj about King Kamsa's orders. Vishnachaka Thakur writes that Krishna did not reveal the intention of Kamsa to actually kill them. Krishna just informed his father that actually Kamsa is calling myself and Balaramji to attend the Dhanur Yagya, to attend the sacrifice which is being performed in Mathura. So he did not actually reveal that plan of Kamsa in which he was planning to kill them. So because of the Nanda Maharaj, he was not aware of Kamsa's intention to kill them. Nanda Maharaj, he just ordered his cowherd men to collect all the milk products and so that they can actually go and give as a gift to Kamsa. They can go and give as a tax to Kamsa. So then it is described that Akrura, when the young gopis heard this news that Akrura has actually come to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, they became extremely distressed, and instantly their faces turned pale and they became thin and lean, and it is described that their bracelets and braids became loose, and they stopped all the sensory activities, and they were completely oblivious to the external world. Just like those who attain the platform of self-realization, like that the description goes. So I would like so today I just had a short time to prepare. I'll just see something related to this topic. So we can see in the character of Akrura some of the things which I just noted down. In the 10th canto beginning, it was described that when Kamsa actually heard that the 8th son of Vasudeva and Devaki is going to be the cause of his death, so then Kamsa actually started his atrocities. And Kamsa heard from actually Narada Muni that Lord Vishnu is going to appear, and then the different demigods and the associates they have taken birth in different dynasties in order to assist the Supreme Lord in his pastimes. So when Kamsa heard this, Kamsa started his atrocities, and he started troubling all the devotees, and he arrested his own father. He actually arrested Vasudeva and Devaki, put in the prison cell. So when Kamsa started the atrocities, it was described that many of the devotees, they actually flew from that Mathura and they went and took shelter of other kingdoms. But it was described that some of the devotees, they continued to actually stay with Kamsa, and they continued to stay with Kamsa, and they were actually trying to assist Kamsa in his plans. They were cooperating with the plans of Kamsa. So Prabhupada explains there that why is it that when so many devotees, when they actually flew from that Mathura and they went and took shelter of other kingdoms, why some of the devotees, they actually continued to stay with Kamsa and they were actually cooperating with the plans of Kamsa? So one such devotee just mentioned is Akrura, who actually stayed with Kamsa and was actually cooperating with the plans of Kamsa. So it was explained why these devotees decided to stay with Kamsa is that they felt that, oh, if we stay with Kamsa, we will get a chance to witness the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So because of their eagerness to see the pastimes of the Lord, because they were eagerly awaiting the appearance of Krishna, they felt that, oh, by staying with Kamsa, they stand a better chance to witness the pastimes of the Lord. So they actually stayed with Kamsa and they were cooperating with the plans of Kamsa. So in one sense, Akrura, according to this particular purport, that Akrura, because of his eagerness to see the pastimes of the Lord, he actually chose to stay with Kamsa. So at least one thing we can learn is that like especially Kali Yuga is an age of quarrel, but here, so cooperation is something like a very difficult, because we always have different egos. But here Akrura, he's actually a devotee of Krishna, but he's actually cooperating with the person who is planning to kill Krishna. So he was able to do it because of his eagerness to witness the pastimes of Krishna. So that means, when there is a higher principle, when there is an eagerness to please the Lord, then when that higher principle is strong in the heart, then it is possible to cooperate even with a person as cruel as Kamsa. So, like in the 4th canto, Lord Vishnu appeared to Prachetas. So Lord Vishnu actually speaks this famous verse. Lord Vishnu says to Prachetas, he says actually why he has actually appeared, why he is so pleased with the Prachetas. So Lord Vishnu says, I am very pleased with all of you because you actually followed the orders of Lord Shiva. You followed the orders of Lord Shiva and you are chanting the prayers which were taught by Lord Shiva. And second reason is that you actually had a friendly relationship with each other. You are actually cooperating with each other. So basically these are the two reasons why Lord Vishnu was pleased with Prajetas. It is because they actually followed the orders of the spiritual master. In this case, it was Lord Shiva. And second reason is that they had a friendly relationship among themselves with other god brothers. So these two principles are important. Like that having friendly relationship with other devotees and at the same time following the orders of superiors. As explained by, I think, Hridayananda Maharaj in one purport, that one has to carry out the mission, at the same time one has to actually take care of the missionaries. Like Prachetas, they carried out the mission in the sense that they followed the orders of Lord Shiva, and at the same time they were actually having friendly relationship with other missionaries. Sometimes one tends to go to different extremes, that one actually tries to, in trying to carry out the mission, we actually spoil the relationship with other missionaries. Sometimes in the name of having good relationship with other missionaries, but we forget the mission of the spiritual master, mission of the Supreme Lord. But here Prachetas, they actually they carried out both the purposes. Like another thing which comes to my mind is like Parashuram, the ninth canto, the story of Parashuram. When Parashuram's father Jamadagni, when he came to know that his wife Renuka, for a moment Renuka had actually gone to the forest to collect some water for the fire sacrifice, or to collect some wood and some water, some paraphernalia for the yajna. So, but she came little late. So Parashuram, Jamadagni, he could understand by his mystic powers why Renuka came little late. So Renuka, when she was actually collecting water, she saw that some Gandharvas were actually enjoying with some heavenly damsels. So she felt that, for a moment she deviated in her chastity, she felt that, well, maybe I should also enjoy in the same position. So Jamadagni could understand that, and she could understand that because of that she came late, and he could actually understand the momentary deviation of Renuka. So then Jamadagni became so angry, and Jamadagni ordered his sons to kill their mother, Renuka. So, but the first four sons refused to actually follow the order of Jamadagni. And then Jamadagni turned to his youngest son Parashuram and he told that you must kill your mother and you must also kill your brothers who actually refused to obey my order. And Parashuram, without even waiting for a moment, immediately he actually killed his mother and the other four brothers. So it's explained that how is it that Parashuram did not even think for a moment how he immediately killed? Because Parashuram knew the power of Jamadagni. So he understood that if I actually immediately execute this order, then Jamadagni will be pleased. And when Jamadagni will be pleased, he will actually tell me to ask for a benediction. Then I can ask for a benediction to actually revive my mother and the four sons, other four brothers. So that is why he executed the order. So why I am telling this story in this connection is that, like, if we if you see the character of Renuka and the other and the sons of Jamadagni, so in one sense, like for a husband, for a wife, like husband is like the spiritual master, and also for the sons, the father is like the spiritual master. So in that sense, if you see, so Renuka and the five sons of Jamadagni, they had the same master, they had the same spiritual master, that is Jamadagni. So Renuka and the first four sons of Jamadagni, they, in one sense, they actually, Renuka deviated in her chastity, in that sense, she actually, she deviated in her devotion to the spiritual master. The other four, the first four sons, they also, they did not follow the instructions of the spiritual master. But the four sons of Jamadagni, they did not follow the instructions of Jamadagni of killing Renuka, because they felt that how can we kill our own mother? So in trying to be nice to the missionaries, they actually failed to execute the order. They failed to execute the mission, that is the order of the spiritual master Jamadagni. But in the case of Parashuram, if you see, Parashuram, he executed the order of the spiritual master Jamadagni immediately. So it appeared that externally he was actually cruel to the other missionaries. But internally he was not cruel, because he still had his feelings towards his brothers and his mother. That is why after killing them, he actually asked Jamadagni that please revive my mother and the four sons in such a way that they do not remember what happened. So in the case of Parashuram, he exhibited both his faithfulness in executing the mission, and he also exhibited the quality of having a good relationship with the other missionaries. But the other brothers of Parashuram, in trying to be nice to the other missionaries, they did not actually execute the order of their spiritual master. So basically, you see that this principle of cooperation with others, at the same time trying to execute the order of the superiors. So here, in the case of Akrura, because of that eagerness to see the pastimes of the Lord, he was able to cooperate with such a cruel person like Kamsa. And another thing which actually comes, another lesson which comes in the character of Akrura is that, when we read in the previous chapter, that Akrura, when he was coming to Vrindavan, he was actually remembering how Krishna and Balaram would be dealing with. And when he saw the footsteps of Krishna, he actually started rolling in the dust of Vrindavan. So Akrura, in one sense, before entering Vrindavan, he actually entered Vrindavan in his mind. So similarly, more than actually entering Vrindavan, one should actually, the eagerness to enter Vrindavan, that is more important than physically entering Vrindavan. So, in the case of Akrura, even before he entered Vrindavan, he actually had entered Vrindavan in his mind. So, sometimes we may physically enter, but in our consciousness, we may not be in Vrindavan. We may be in the material world. So whereas we see other examples like Shaubari Muni, Durvasa Muni. Like Shaubari Muni was performing austerities under the waters of Yamuna. He was actually was in the most sacred place, under the waters of Yamuna. He was physically in Vrindavan. But in his consciousness wise, he was not in Vrindavan, because he was actually, he actually offended Garuda. He was, in his consciousness wise, he cursed the superior devotee of the Lord. Or Durvasa Muni also, he was actually taking bath in the waters of Yamuna. But when he came to know that Ambarish Maharaj had actually drunk water, and he became so angry, and he actually sent a demon to actually kill Ambarish Maharaj. In one sense, he was physically in Vrindavan, but his consciousness wise, he had the consciousness of an offender, of a devotee of the Lord. So this is an important thing we see from Akrura. And another thing we see is that Akrura, externally he was actually carrying out the orders of Kamsa, he was working for Kamsa, but he is actually internally a devotee of the Lord, his intentions were pure. So many times, when we focus on the externals, when we actually, when we fail to focus on the essence, we might misunderstand a devotee to be a non-devotee, or sometimes we misunderstand a non-devotee to be a devotee. So the again, the lesson of focusing on the essence, it actually comes out. Like I was reading 7th canto. The 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj goes to meet Prahlad Maharaj, he was actually searching for the sadhus. So recently in one class, Radhana Swami Maharaj was explaining, Prahlad Maharaj was such a great devotee of the Lord that at the age of 5, he actually preached to his classmates. He gave teachings to his classmates. So those teachings of Prahlad Maharaj to his classmates, they are still being studied by people even after millions of years. He was such a great devotee of the Lord. But such that Prahlad Maharaj, even when he became the king, he was actually looking for sadhus, so that he can actually associate with them and he can actually hear from the sadhus. So he actually comes across this Avadhut Brahmana. So when he came across this Avadhut Brahmana, and then he actually inquires from Avadhut Brahmana, how is it that you are not working, you are not like eating anything, but still you are actually so fat, you are just lying in one place, but still you are so fat, like that. Because Prahlad Maharaj could understand that this person is a highly elevated devotee. But common people actually could not recognize this person is actually a highly elevated person. And Prahlad Maharaj inquired from him. And this Avadhut Brahmana, being pleased with Prahlad Maharaj's eagerness, and he actually starts speaking to Prahlad Maharaj. And then he gives so many wonderful teachings. And he says that why I have actually refrained from different fruitive activities is that I saw that people in this world, they were trying to perform fruitive activities. I could see that nobody is actually happy. And by contemplating about that, then so I have actually refrained from fruitive activities. So then Prahlad Maharaj asks, so you are given such wonderful teachings. So can you please tell me from which guru has taught all these teachings? Which spiritual master has taught all these teachings? From whom have you learned? That time this Avadhut Brahmana says that I have learned these teachings from two spiritual masters. One is Python and another is Bumblebee. And then he tells like how actually learned these teachings from Python and Bumblebee. So then at the end, actually this after telling that, then Avadhut Brahmana says, which Vishnu Chakra Thakur writes in the purport, the Avadhut Brahmana is saying, actually although whatever teachings are imparted to you, from the point of view of the commoners, it may appear that whatever I have spoken is not from the scriptures. But actually, whatever I have spoken is exactly according to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. It is actually according to scriptures. Because from the point of view, because this Avadhut Brahma did not quote, oh, this particular Acharya said like that, or I learned this from this particular verse from, say, Padma Puran. I learned in this particular chapter, this verse number 10 says this. So this I have learned. He did not quote any particular renowned teacher or some particular verse. He said, I have learned from Python and Bee. They were my spiritual master. So that's why he's saying, like, whatever I have spoken, it may appear that it is not according to scriptures from the commoner's point of view. But actually it is according to scriptures, like that he says. So if we see that sometimes when we focus on the external, sometimes we may think, oh, this person is not quoting something, he is just speaking some general stories, or he is just giving some lessons from the trees, or he is just giving some lessons from some jellyfish or something like that. One may not be quoting any, it may appear that he is not quoting any scriptures. So when we focus on the external, sometimes we fail to realize that the essence, what he is speaking, is actually according to scriptures, is the essence of the scriptures. On the other hand, like before that, like we can also see from this purport of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the culture which is actually present at that time. So he says, from the commoner's point of view, my teachings may appear to be not based on scriptures. So that means a common person at that particular time, he would accept only those things which are supported by the scriptures. Because he did not quote any scriptures, a common person must be thinking, oh, he did not actually speak, he is not giving anything for the scripture. So if we compare with the today's world, if we start saying, so Shukadeva Goswami says in the third canto, or the ninth canto, it is mentioned like that. When you start saying like that, then people immediately go to sleep. Because a common person in today, he doesn't have actually faith in the scriptures. So if he starts saying something of a common person, some Sachin Tendulkar, or some stories, or some, then immediately actually our voids are, our eyes are awake. So we can even see the cultural context of that Prahlad Maharaj's time and today's time. And from another point of view, from another example, is that sometimes it may appear that somebody is actually speaking exactly according to the scriptures. But if you are not focused on the essence, we might fail to realize this person, although he seems to be quoting the scriptures, but he is actually, we may fail to realize that he is actually deviating from the philosophy. For example, the story comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Once one Brahmana from, I think, Bengal, he approached the, he came to Jagannath Puri, and many of the devotees were quite impressed by his poetry, glorifying the Supreme Lord, Krishna, Lord Jagannath, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhagavan Acharya approached Sarupa Damodar Goswami. There is a wonderful Brahmana from Bengal, and he composes very wonderful poems glorifying the Supreme Lord, Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you please hear this, his poems is very, really wonderful. So like that, he pleaded with Sarupa Damodar Goswami, and Sarupa Damodar Goswami, he did not take it seriously, but then Bhagavan Acharya was repeatedly asking, requesting, and Sarupa Damodar Goswami agreed to actually listen. And then that Brahmana came, and then he recited his poems glorifying Lord Jagannath, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because I couldn't note down the exact what poem is, but the instance is that then when he composed, when he told these poems, it was actually, then all the devotees were actually quite impressed. They started saying, what a wonderful poem he's composed glorifying Lord Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Sarupa Damodar Goswami was, he was so angry, because he could understand the contamination of Mayavad in his actually composition. He actually immediately pointed out how his poem is actually contaminated with a deviant philosophy. So, why I am telling this example is like, in the case of, sometimes, although this person externally he was appearing to actually glorify the Supreme Lord, but most of the people, they could not actually recognize that he is actually deviating from the philosophy. But So Rudra Madhar Goswami could actually recognize because he was focused on the essence. So similarly here, Akrura, from an external point of view, he was working for Kamsa, but actually internally, he is actually a great devotee of the Lord. I just wanted to share some few purports of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, which were very inspiring actually. So just like in the case of Akrura, sometimes when a person is having good intentions, but he may be in a wrong situation, then one may be misunderstood by so many people. So how does a devotee deal with the misunderstanding of others? What attitude one should have when others are misunderstanding? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes in one purport, he says that, he is writing his purport at the end of the 7th canto, he says that with fear and shame, I say what I know because of my foolishness. With fear and shame, I say what I know out of my foolishness because it gives pleasure to my mind, I am saying this. Although I am actually fearful and I am little shameful, but I have written these purports because somehow this is actually giving pleasure to my mind. So I am actually writing these purports, although it may be out of my foolishness. And he says, intelligent people, they may actually criticize me. Intelligent people may think, they may actually criticize me, they may ridicule me. But still I will continue to write my purports because it is giving pleasure to my mind. And then he says, but may the Supreme Lord, who is having peacock feather in his head, may he appear in the hearts of those people who actually complain about me. So we can see the positive attitude of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So he is saying, sometimes when a person is rendering a particular service, sometimes others may misunderstand, others may pass some comments or something like. So usually we tend to get discouraged by that. Because of discouragement, we may lose our enthusiasm to do the service. Or another thing is that we may continue to do the service, but we may develop a hatred towards those people who have some misunderstanding towards us or who are actually complaining about us. But here Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he is having such a positive attitude. He is saying, people may actually complain about me, people may actually criticize me, but still I will continue to write my purport because he is giving pleasure to my mind. He is not discouraged in his service. At the same time, he is not developing a hatred towards those people who are complaining about him. On the other hand, he is praying for them that may the Lord appear in the hearts of those people who actually complain about me. So, such a positive attitude of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And another beautiful purport I was reading, that in the 10th canto, in the beginning of the prayers of the personified Vedas, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, before actually attempting to write purports on these prayers of the personified Vedas, he actually offers wonderful prayers. We can see his humility. So he says, the saintly devotees may actually laugh at me. The saintly devotees may think, I am like a jewel merchant who is trying to sell jewels without knowing the value of the jewels. The saintly devotees may laugh at me thinking that I am actually trying to write commentary on the prayers of Vedas personified without knowing what I am actually entering into. But still I will continue to write commentaries because at least I will be able to entertain the devotees. at least I will, by writing these commentaries, at least I will be able to give a good laugh to the devotees. So he is actually, criticism is actually taking in a positive spirit, and he is thinking that I will be able to give pleasure to the devotees. And he says that actually I have no wisdom, and I have no devotion, and I also don't have any detachment. But still, I am greedy to take the touchstone of the Veda's prayers from the fortress in which it is being kept. So we can see his humility is that he is feeling that I lack devotion, knowledge and detachment. But still I am actually greedy to actually take the philosopher's stone of the prayer. I am still greedy to write purports on this prayers of the Veda's personified. So his humility is there, at the same time his eagerness is there. So this combination is actually when a person is only humble, but that humility is not leading to increased service, then that humility is actually something like an inferiority complex. But in the name of when a person is showing enthusiasm and eagerness, but internally if you are not feeling that we are actually unqualified, then that means we are rendering service the mood of being proud. So Vishnu Chakravartagur is having a humble attitude, but at the same time is actually greedy. So, and then another thing he writes, if the wind of discretion, my failure to acknowledge my lowly position, threatens to knock me down while writing this commentary, I must hold on to the pillar, effulgent pillars of the feet of Sridhar Swami. So he says that actually I may not have the proper discretion while writing these commentaries. I may actually I may write wrong. This wind of discretion may actually knock me down, but I will not fall down because I will actually hold on to the pillars of Sridhar Swami's. By holding on to the pillars of Sridhar Swami, that I will actually remain steady. So it means like he's telling that I may actually lack discretion, but because I hold on to the pillars of Guru Parampara, even though I am unqualified, but still you readers can actually take benefit from my teachings because I am actually holding on to the pillars of Sridhar Swami. Even if you think that I am actually lacking discretion, but still you can take benefit from my teachings because I am actually holding on to the pillars of the Guru Parampara. So like Radhanath Swami Maharaj, like Prabhupada would tell that I am simply like a postal peon who is actually delivering the message of the spiritual master. So Radhanath Swami Maharaj says that a peon may not be a millionaire, but he can actually deliver $1 million to you. So similarly, so that was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. I am just a peon, but still I can actually give the real treasure to you because I am actually writing purports according to the Guru Parampara. And another beautiful thing about Vishnu Chakravartagur is that, and Vishnu Chakravartagur, after writing this purports in the about the prayers of Vedas personified, so this is one of the this section is like the one of the greatest philosophical section in the Bhagavatam, like very long purports on Vishnu Chakravartagur is written. So usually when a person actually to read high philosophy, it is like very taxing for the mind. It is very difficult. And even more than that is like to write such high philosophical subject matters. So that requires even more great concentration, great clarity and great effort on the part of the person. And one of the thing is that when we speak high philosophy or when we actually write high philosophy, usually one can actually one may tend to become proud, because one may think, oh, these people are just speaking simple stories and jokes. I am speaking, see, I spoke such high philosophy. So to explain philosophy and to write philosophy, it is difficult. And when we do a difficult task, we may actually tend to become proud actually. But Vishnu Chakravarti's consciousness, such amazing actually. So this is, he is composing his verse at the end, after writing the purports on the Vedas personified, he is composing this verse. He says, He bhakta dvari ayam chanchad, valadi rauti va manag, prasadam labatam yasmad, vishisham sveva natati. He says that, O devotees, this person with an unsteady dull mind is offering praises at your door. You should let him have a little mercy, since he is expert and quickly does the soliting. So, he is, Vishnu Chakravarti has written meaning to this particular verse. He is saying that, Visishta Shweva Natati. So, the word Vishwanatha, can be split in this way. V plus Shva plus Natha. So, Shva means dog. And Natha means master. So, Vishnu Chakravarti is saying that I have written these purports for the pleasure of all of you. Now, all of you devotees, please bless me that I may become a special dog. When we add the letter V before a particular this thing, means it adds, like, becomes special. V plus Shva means special dog. So, by your blessings, please give your blessings that I may become a special dog having the Lord as the master. So, he says that, O devotees, this poor creature standing at your doorway is wagging his tail and barking. So, please let him have a little prasadam, so that he may become exceptional among dogs and get the best of masters as his owner. So, this is his consciousness after writing the purports. So, we can see his humility before approaching the purports on the prayers of Vedas personified. And we can see his consciousness after explaining the greatest philosophical section. So, lastly, I wanted to speak about this point. Akrura. So, Akrura is a devotee of the Supreme Lord, but he was actually working for Kamsa. So, he was working for Kamsa. So, sometimes, even if a person is a devotee, but if he is working for the wrong person, so for that one will actually get some reaction. So for our devotional service we will be rewarded. But when a person is working for the wrong person, that also we will get actually reaction. Like Prabhupada writes in the first canto, in the Bhishma Dev section, Prabhupada says that Bhishma Dev, Krishna wanted to teach a lesson through the life of Bhishma Dev, that even if such a great personality like Bhishma Dev, if he is actually on the wrong side of adharma, even then he will not be protected. Even if such a great devotee like Bhishma Dev, if he is actually working for people who are supporting adharma, he will not be protected. So Krishna definitely reciprocated with his devotion. He went back to the spiritual world, but he was also punished for his actually siding the Kauravas. So for our devotional service, that will be rewarded. And for our siding with, or for our supporting, to whatever extent, those people who are actually supporting adharma, for that also we will get reaction while leaving this world. And so later Akrura, because he actually displeased the gopis later, his mind got contaminated during the Shyamanta Gajwal pastime. So, that's why we see the Krishna's justice system is that Krishna will reward for the devotional service, and if a person is supporting wrong people, that also will be, Krishna will punish that also. It's not that by practicing devotional service, we nullify that reaction. Like Prabhupada writes in that, in the case of, in the life of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, one purport Prabhupada explained that Bharat Maharaj was punished by the Supreme Lord by making him a deer, because he actually misused his free will and became attached to the deer. So he was punished for that. And Bharat Maharaj was also rewarded for his devotional service, that although he became a deer, that Krishna gave him the remembrance of his past devotional service. So Krishna's justice system is like this. So Krishna shows mercy, and Krishna also punishes for whatever wrong activities. But that punishment by Krishna, Krishna punishes in such a way that punishment only elevates a person. So Krishna punished Bharat Maharaj by making him a deer, but he was actually constantly repenting, and eventually he became, his love for the Supreme Lord ultimately increased. So he punished in such a way that ultimately he got elevated. As Vishnu Chakotaku says in a purport, that Krishna actually drowned Bharat Maharaj in the ocean of remorse, so that he can later drown in the ocean of prema. So he drowned him in the ocean of remorse by making him a deer, and then he remembered his past devotional service. He was feeling repentant all the time. He was drowning in the ocean of remorse that I became attached to the deer, because of that I had to become a deer. And then later, he drowned in the ocean of prema when he became a Jadabharat. Like that. So this is the Krishna justice system. So, I would like to stop here. So I think if anybody has any questions, we'll take personally, because it's late. Prantanar Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Shila Prabhupada ki chai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki chai.